Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. We began last week and we pretty well focused on the first three or four verses, but we were looking at the importance of proper knowledge concerning spiritual gifts. We made the statement that when it comes to spiritual gifts, as well as other things of spiritual nature, that ignorance is not bliss. And Paul did not want the Corinthians to be ignorant on this subject of spiritual gifts. As well, we should not be ignorant today, because as we discussed last week, there are a lot of false doctrines surrounding spiritual gifts, and so we need to be ready to dispute those doctrines and not be led astray by those things ourselves as well. We looked at basically four questions about spiritual gifts. We looked at what the purpose of spiritual gifts was. We looked at how one would receive spiritual gifts. We discussed the duration of spiritual gifts, how long were these things in effect. And then we discussed about modern day spiritual gifts, some questions surrounding those who claim to be able to perform spiritual gifts even today. And then we began looking at some practical teaching about spiritual gifts. And we were looking at the question, you know, that Paul raised, or not necessarily the question, but the statement that he made, you know, what was the test of spiritual gifts? And, you know, that test would be, is the doctrine true? Are they proclaiming Christ? Are they in line with his teachings? Then you know that, you know, more than likely those gifts are real. If they're not, then, you know, if they're not recognizing Christ, not recognizing him as Lord and Savior, then you know for sure that they are false. So with that, with those two questions there, as we said, you know, the Corinthians were able to cut through a lot of the noise, a lot of the trash that might have been going on there in Corinth, because there was a lot of idolatry and other religions there in that city. And so that's pretty well where we finished up last week. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add, or any questions or anything on that first part before we get into the next verse there? Not necessarily the next verse, but the next question that we have. What I want to look at now is how that the gifts of the Spirit did not ensure the faithfulness of the church there at Corinth, or ensure that they were going to exist without issues. We are all well aware of our previous studies throughout the first part of this book that there were a lot of issues there at Corinth. A lot of things going on. And even though they had gifts, they were still suffering. They still had suffering from these issues. And so, you know, we were looking at how they were weak. They were carnal. There were a lot of divisions there. There was a lot of immorality. But yet, they had spiritual gifts. If we go back to chapter 1 and look at verses 5 through 7, Paul says there that you are enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we had a congregation that had the ability to do better than what they were doing. They came short in no gift. They had utterance. They had not all knowledge. So why did problems exist there? Why did they have all of these issues? The Corinthians still needed instruction and guidance from the Apostle Paul about worship, about doctrine, about even correcting them about the resurrection. And so they still needed a lot of things there. And so, as I said last week, I'd like to hear some, what others might think about this. But before we get into that, I kind of had a couple of things I wanted to kind of set the basis for, a few things that I had come up with or I had read and thought relevant to the question here. The first one being, I was discussing this with George last week, and he brought up how that the Spirit is given in different measures. And so we see the Spirit being given to different groups of people in different measures. When we look at Christ, we see that Christ possessed the Spirit without measure. His spiritual gifts were without measure. And in John chapter 3, verses 34 and 35, it says there, describing him, says, "For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand." And so when God gave Christ these gifts, they were given to him without measure. And all things were given into his hands. And so we see that nothing was held back from Christ. He had it all. He was all powerful, so to speak. And so it was given to him without measure. We see that the apostles had a great measure of the Spirit, yet it was not unlimited. The measure of the Spirit that the apostles were given allowed them to do things that others could not do. We discussed last week how that the apostles were the only ones that were able to impart the Spirit to others, to lay hands upon them, and then therefore those people would receive a measure of the Holy Spirit. And so we only see the apostles being able to do that. So they had that measure. It seems that they had more numerous and maybe even greater abilities in some instances. And it also, to me, seems that they were the ones by which the inspired scriptures were given. It was through them that that the scriptures came. You know, while others had the ability to prophesy, it was the apostles who were chosen by Christ to bind and to loose. If we go back to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19, here you have Christ speaking to the apostles, and he said, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And so it was the apostles to whom the early church turned to for doctrinal teaching and instruction. And we see this going on there in Corinth. We have the church there. You know, there were issues. They had obviously written to Paul, asking Paul about some things. And so Paul was replying, was answering some of those questions. So it was Paul to whom the early church was going to answer some of these questions. The apostles were the ones to whom Christ promised that would be guided into all truth by the Spirit. So if we look back there to that promise as well, when he was telling them that the Spirit would come and that the Spirit would guide them into all truth. And so we see here that Christ possessed without measure. The apostles had a great measure, but yet it was not unlimited. And then we see where other believers received the Spirit, but not in the same measure that the apostles did. The number of spiritual gifts they possessed seemed to be more limited than what the apostles had. The implication of verses 8 through 10, and we'll study that in more detail, is that some only had one spiritual gift. And maybe others had two, but you know, it seems like maybe this one was only able to speak in tongues. You had another one that was able to interpret those tongues. And so it was very limited in nature compared to what the apostles were able to do. And it still seems like even though these people had spiritual gifts, they still relied upon the apostles to guide them when it comes to doctrinal matters. Does anybody have any comments or anything they'd like to add or questions or in that section? I have a couple of more points I would like to add, but anything along those lines anybody would like to say.
Shane, there's some religious denominations in this area that believe that upon conversion, initial conversion, that tongues will be spoken.
Yeah.
And that would be run counter to this.
Yeah.
Because, but then they give them those. I mean, if you are converted to become a Christian, that you will speak in tongues.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, even in this area, there is a lot of mis or false doctrine about tongue speaking and a lot of other things as well. And anything else? Another reason that problems existed there in Corinth is that spiritual gifts did not automatically keep one from being tempted or automatically keep one from sinning. Even Christ, we saw where he had the Spirit without measure, even Christ was tempted. We read in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 where it says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." So Christ did not give in to that temptation, but yet that temptation was there. And I believe it was a very great temptation. You know, in all points tempted as we are. So just like you and I are tempted on a daily basis, Christ was as well. And he possessed spiritual gifts without measure, but yet that did not keep him from being tempted. And so just because the church of Corinth had spiritual gifts, it does not mean that they did not suffer temptation there. And then we look at the early church and the apostles. Look at Peter and Barnabas, how that they were caught up in sin. Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13 says, "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy." So here we have Peter, an apostle, who had a great measure of the Holy Spirit being caught up in this situation where he didn't want to be seen eating with the Gentiles, and it was a sinful thing. And so you have Paul confronting him about that. And so we see that the spiritual gifts did not keep Peter and others from sinning in that situation. So while spiritual gifts are most definitely an asset at Corinth, they were not an impenetrable shield against sin. And so when we ask the questions of why were there so many issues at Corinth, I believe some of these things help us to answer those questions. So does anybody else have any ideas there as we look at the church? Yeah.
They had spiritual gifts. But even later, you know, when you look at even when they were born as spiritual gifts in the form of prophecy, they still had instructions they had to follow. Yeah. And the spirits of the prophets were subject to the prophets. So, you know, they still had control over what was going on. It didn't matter if they had the gift or not. You know, they still had, you know, free will and had to make choices and decisions.
Yeah.
We were pretty much really in the same position as the fact that we have it all right here in this book. They were getting it for reasons why we understand, but we're subject to the same possibilities.
Yeah. How many times do we do something that we know better to do? You know, we know we're not supposed to do that, yet we many times go ahead and do it anyway. And so that's no different whether, you know, whether we're in Corinth or here today. Anything else there? You know, to me, as I was studying that, you know, I was just thinking they had all of this possibility there, but yet they weren't using it, it seems, to the best of their ability and to the, you know, to do you know, that they had so much potential there, but yet it seems like they were not living up to their potential. But yet, you know, we look at that, but yet we look at what we've got and what we can read and what we can study, and we may be no different in the same areas there. And so we might look at them and try to think, well, you know, if I had been there, I would not have been doing those things. If I'd been able to perform spiritual gifts, you know, there'd be no way I would be caught up in all of this other stuff. But we have no excuse today either, because we have something greater, really, than what they had, and we've got the complete word. We've got everything. And we can see many times maybe the big picture, where maybe they had a limited view there for a while. And so we have no excuses today as well. Any other comments there? As we mentioned earlier, we see that the same Spirit gave different gifts to different people. If we look there at verse 4, it says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Paul describes these spiritual gifts as many and varied, and we'll get into that description here in a few verses. And the gifts differed in the work that they enabled each to perform, yet they all came from the same Spirit. So you have the same Spirit giving different abilities, different gifts to different people. In verse 5, it says, there were differences of ministries, but the same Lord. The King James Version translates ministries as administrations. And this is indicative of an office, maybe a position or a service, a particular service that one was to perform. If we look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12, it says that he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so here we see there are different ministries, different positions, I guess for the lack of a better word, but they all have the same point, the same end, and that's just for the edification of the body of Christ. So while there is not one that's really more important than the other, it's just they work in different ways. And we'll discuss that line of thinking as we proceed in this chapter a little later on. In verse 6 it says, and there are diversities of activities, but it is all the same God who works all in all. So the King James Version translates activities as operations. And so when you look this word up in a dictionary such as Strong's, it says the thing wrought or the effect. So one gift works for one purpose, another gift works for another purpose, but all gifts are ultimately from God, and each gift is to be used for the glory of God. And so there are different purposes for different gifts. So what, you know, we really come to the conclusion as we read and study what Paul is stating here is that the emphasis should not be on the administrator of the gift. So we shouldn't put emphasis on this person because he is the one that is administering that gift. We should not be putting emphasis on the person maybe that is the recipient of the gift or the nature of the gift, so to speak. But the emphasis should be put on the one that gave the gift, the one with whom the gift is glorifying, the gospel with which the gift is confirming and trying to enable that person to spread it in a more effective manner. So when you look at Corinth and you look at the attitudes there, you know, they there was a lot of pride, there was a lot of division, you know, people seemed to have felt like they were more important because they had this gift, maybe over somebody that had another gift, or maybe someone that had no gifts. But what Paul is stating here is it's not the administrator, it's not the gift, it's the message. It is the message that we should be focusing on, and of course the message is Christ, God, things of that nature. And so we should be focusing on the one who gave the gift. Diversities of gift, as we kind of finish up this section, as used in verse 4, stresses the unearned nature of these powers. Varieties of ministries, as used in verse 5, stresses the purpose of the gifts to be used in service to others. And diversities of activities, as used in verse 6, stresses the results of the gifts. So the purpose of these gifts was designed for the advantage or the profit of the church, not for the glory of the person that was administering those gifts. If we look at verse 7, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." All spiritual gifts come from God and are designed for His glory and not for the gratification, not for someone to exalt themselves because they possess the power to do these spiritual gifts. And they were ultimately for the advantage of all the believers, not just the believers then, but really our benefit today, as we can, as we said, read and study the complete word that has been revealed because of the gifts that many had back in the early church there. So does anybody have anything they'd like to add or say along those lines? Yeah, right.
You know, when Paul opens and says that when y'all were sinners, you these idols that you served, you were led all over the place, mm-hmm. conflicting doctrines, conflicting teachings, but Christianity doesn't work that way. That there's harmony in the teaching, that no one would ever say Christ is accursed. Yeah. You heard that? That's an idol talking. Yeah. The Holy Spirit would never say something like that. So you'd understand that there's unity of doctrine, of teaching. And look at it. God gives it all. Christ, all these different ministers, preachers, and things you see, but one Christ, one Holy Spirit. So there's harmony in Christianity that they needed to really understand. Mm-hmm. We see that in the world. They'll jump up and talk at the same time. Well, yeah. The Spirit doesn't operate that way, mm-hmm. because actually you can control. You know, that's yeah. what he's showing, it seems to me. These where you're all over the place, and he uses their former life, their idols, to kind of illustrate that you're all over the place, but not in Christ. And like you pointed out clearly, you know, there is a clear purpose for these things. It's simply to build a group up. I think that point is being made.
Yeah, and you know, you look at the speaking in tongues, which seems to be one of the more common claim spiritual gift today, and you look at what is the purpose of that. You know, there was a, as we see, as we study, we see that there's a clear purpose for each one of these gifts. But what is really the purpose of the one speaking in tongues today? Because usually, from what I understand, there's not someone there that can't understand the language that's being used, or really understand the language that's, because there is no language. And we just don't see that in the early church, that there was a purpose for that. Here we've got people in this audience that cannot understand the language that maybe the person that's preaching is speaking. And so now the purpose of speaking in tongue is so that that person can understand. And it's an actual tongue. It's an actual language, where today you don't have that. And like Rodney said, it's just mass confusion. You got people all over the building speaking just gibberish to no end, for no reason. And so, as Rodney stated, it's an orderly thing. It all comes together in harmony, and we don't need all the chaos, because the scriptures are not chaos. And so we need to follow those examples. Any other comments or anything? All right, so as we continue there in verse 8, and beginning in verse 8, Paul begins to list the different types of miraculous gifts that were present among the Christians at Corinth. So let's go ahead and reread verses 8 through 11. It says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." So as we look at these different types of spiritual gifts, probably as I was reading and studying, I had some questions about maybe what some of these things were. And so for us today, when we don't have spiritual gifts, when we really didn't actually see some of these things being performed, we're probably not going to really perfectly understand exactly maybe what some of these things did. But one thing we can do is, and I think it might have been Gerald or somebody else that I was talking to last week, we can, maybe even Ronnie, we can know what they don't mean. And because we can look, and as Rodney said, everything harmonizes in the Scripture. And so if we're looking at this one spiritual gift, trying to figure that out, and then we see something over here that we know that, well, this can't be that, you know, that may be as much as we're able to know. Just, well, we know it's not this. We may not know exactly what it is, but it can't be this, and it can't be this here. And so as we look at some of these things, we may not have a definite answer as to what these are, but as we said, we know what the purpose was. And they were to do the things that we have discussed last week and this week as well. And so he begins by speaking about the word of wisdom. And so what this could be would be a spirit-led application of teaching. You know, we may have all the knowledge in the world, but if we don't know how to apply it, we don't know how to make application, then that knowledge really is of no use to us. One commentator said that it's not wisdom directly, but words by which wisdom may be taught. You know, sometimes it might have been just choosing the proper words to be able to convey the thoughts or the things that you need to get across. You know, sometimes I have problems with choosing my words. And you know, oftentimes it may be, you know, you may approach someone using language that they might not be receptive to, where if you had gone to them using other words, other language, maybe they would be more receptive. And so this very well could be what we're talking about here. Just having this gift of using these words of wisdom properly, so that others would be maybe more receptive or maybe be able to understand things better. Have you ever been maybe needed to explain something to somebody, but you just could not think of a way to do that? You know, I just have to show you. I can't explain it to you. How many times have you said that? Maybe this might be the same thing there. The words of wisdom in order, you know, and other people in here are much more gifted than me at explaining things. And so this could be along those lines. Whatever it is, I believe it's safe to say that it was meant to help others understand the gospel better. Words of wisdom, the things that they needed to know, this was a gift that would help early Christians understand what they needed to know there. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add or disagree with on that? Yeah.
And yet, a person who had power of the Spirit could look at that and say, well, this is what that meant. And that, you know, maybe I could read it, but I didn't have the wisdom to understand how to apply. But miraculously, who's believed every report, and then the arm of the Lord revealed, you know, maybe even more than once, and it's making an explanation of what I think.
Maybe if we had this, we could teach the book of Revelation and not have to say, I don't really know what this means. Maybe we would know. So that's a good point. I had not thought about that one. That's a good point. Anything else along those lines? All right, the next one we have there is the word of knowledge. This seems to be spirit-led information or explanation. So this is, as we said, you can have knowledge, but you can't have wisdom. And so maybe this is the knowledge that the Spirit has given these people on a certain subject or something like that. The teaching of truth in regards to what God wanted His people to know. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, maybe these first two, we might think that there are, you know, they are very closely related, and they may be. We might see overlaps in people discussing exactly what these first two are. But, you know, I think, again, it's safe to say, you know, these are something, gifts that were being used to help people understand God's will and what He wanted them to do. Anybody have any comments on that one? It's kind of like somebody having book smarts but not a lot of common sense. And so I think we've all known people like that just do not seem to have a lot of common sense, even though they possess a lot of knowledge. So I believe both of these two here kind of encompass both that. And so how to properly use the knowledge that they had. The next one is faith. You know, this is the one probably that I struggled with the most, trying to figure out exactly what this might be. This would not be the usual type of faith that we think about today, because that type of faith would originate with the person upon hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17. Where does faith come from? From hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so while this is some sort of faith, it's not the same sort of faith that we are actually commanded to have. Because all throughout the scriptures we're commanded to have faith. But this faith here was given to somebody. And so it would not be the same sort of faith that we have, since personal faith is commanded. And this faith was a gift. We might say, well, is this the faith that would allow someone to move mountains? You look in the next chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 2. And it says there, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all ministry or all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And so here Paul seems to be, you know, he's talking about maybe this spiritual gifts of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. It seems to come right, these two things right before this idea of faith that you're able to move mountains with. And so is this a measure of faith then that the Spirit gives them so that they maybe would have the confidence to do these great things? You know, maybe me personally, you know, I might have the ability, but I might not believe in that I could actually do that. And so here we see great power given to these apostles, to these early Christians. And so maybe this is the confidence, a Spirit-given confidence that they can actually do these things. Maybe that's it. Brandy and I were discussing this last week, and, you know, she was, you know, you look at, she said it comes right in line with the word of wisdom, with the word of knowledge. Maybe these were words of faith that they were able to speak so that would build others' faith of? I'm really not sure. I had never thought of that one. So, other ideas. I'd love to hear what other men might think about this.
One thing comes to my mind, Shane, is when Paul in 2 Thessalonians 4, he talks about that fought a good fight, that Jesus court, that kept the faith, his court that laid up in you, a kind of righteousness. And I don't know that I have that much confidence, but you see this man, he had great confidence, he had great faith, and he knew that he had done what he should do. Maybe that's where we fall short. Maybe we don't. We know we hadn't done that. But still, you see his great faith, and we want that kind of faith.
Yeah.
And he certainly was a strong man.
Yeah. Anybody else?
Sure.
Yes.
Peter saw the vision in a trance and was told to go to Cornelius' house. Although it may be a figurative mountain, you know, he was going against the tradition of Jews not to even go into uncircumcised.
Yeah.
And so that took a lot of courage.
Yeah, to a Jew, that would have been a great mountain.
Because when he came back, even those who were uncircumcised, it broke a great psychological barrier, and I think in that took something extra special. And of course, Peter was chosen to do that, and he did.
Yeah. And you look at Paul and his willingness to go to appeal to Caesar, to go in front of all these rulers who had a lot of authority over him, you know. To me, I would kind of back. No, I'm not the person to go stand in front of these people. But yet, you know, maybe it was that faith that yeah, you can do that.
And I recall on the sea crossing over, and there came a great storm, and they were afraid Christ was asleep, woke him up. I don't recall exactly. I didn't look at the context before. I'm just going by a very bad memory. But he rebuked them and called them. They said that they had a little faith.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly it would take great faith to believe some things that Christ did. Christ had great faith.
Yeah.
So I equate this to be, it mentions miracles, you know, as another gift. In fact, it almost seems like it repeats itself at times. Healings and working of miracles, you know, those could be put in the same category. Sense, but here's great faith. It took great faith to believe what Christ was doing, and what perhaps it was Peter when he asked to walk on the water, and then he told Peter that concerning his faith, or maybe he was addressing the group, but certainly there would take great faith to do what Christ had referenced to at that time.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a matter of leaving the faith at that time, leaving to do that which was impossible to do.
Yeah. Ronnie.
You know, in Matthew 10, Jesus says, when they deliver you up, don't worry about how or what you should speak, for it'll be given to you in that hour, for it's not you who speak, but the Spirit. Luke's account adds to that too. Luke says when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, that's Luke 12:11, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. Now there's wit, there's Holy Spirit given wisdom. It's not just the words on your tongue, but what about being what, how to answer this man. When he says this, you say that, you know, the wisdom involved, not just the words. That's inspired. But I believe here we have it illustrated what he's talking about, because he mentions all these various aspects of what to say, not just what to say, but he's going to tell you how to answer and how to say it and give you the words too. Yeah. I think that's
some
of it, you know, there.
And you just, you know, you compare that maybe to teaching this class. You know, how many of us stand up here and are nervous about the chapter we're about to teach? You know, I don't have the faith that I can really answer all the questions that may be fired at me. But, you know, if you've got the Spirit giving you that faith, giving you that wisdom and knowledge, I mean, you could do a lot with that. And so maybe I see that. And, you know, as to me, that's kind of more where I'm leaning there.
They had everything that they needed at their disposal. I'm not saying they knew that, they had everything at once.
Yeah.
But it was accessible to them.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Well, I mean, I would say so, but maybe not in there locally, because yet they were writing to Paul asking for advice and everything, but maybe it was just you had two people disputing and one saying one thing. I don't know, but I definitely think they had what they needed to be to please God at that moment. There, or they had a way to get it. Anything else there? Okay, we're just about out of time. I don't think I've got time to really go through the rest of these. So, Lord willing, we'll plan on picking up there and quickly going through that. The rest of these, I don't think will be take as much time to talk about there. So, Lord willing, we'll do that next week, and then we'll continue and pick up there in verse 12 and continue on with our study. I appreciate everyone's attention. I appreciate those who made comments. We had some very good comments this morning. And I appreciate your help along those lines. So we'll go ahead and close up our class, get everything swapped around, and start the service here in just a few moments.